Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. You wanna beef with the thing? What is you gonna do?
That was really good.
I don't even know if that was the words.
That was really good.
I think I jacked up a part of it.
You gonna say anything?
You gotta get close. You gotta get like this.
Just doing a mic check.
No, you gotta say what you need to say, Kristen. You gotta get it.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show, Kristen. I like the parts in there. If you're looking at me.
Oh, I thought that was my line.
Oh, it was. You know, I was just really into it.
I really thought I had that one.
You know, I'm so sorry. You wanna run it back? You wanna try it again?
Try it again.
Okay, here we go. I like the parts in there.
Ooh, she's looking at me.
Yes, we are back, y'all. Episode numero 10. Wait.
10?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
10?
Yeah, 10.
Yep.
The ace.
And it is a full moon.
How? Ooh, oh, that was not very good.
That was
I'm so
wrong.
Sorry.
We also have a guest.
Our first ever guest.
Welcome to the stage, Kristen.
Bam, 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 bam.
She said, I don't know what to say.
You just say, hey. Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
Kristen and I worked together for 2 years, and then I kind of abandoned her. Mm-hmm. And took another job.
Very much left me.
But she is also an English teacher, so her and Miss Branny have that in common. And I'm supposed to be the math brain, but then they ask me math questions, and I don't know what's happening.
I feel like it's because we, like, put you on the spot or whatever.
You do.
I'm sorry. I'm just testing, you know, the mathematicalness.
It's okay to count on your fingers.
Yeah, I do. I encourage it. You I know, definitely encourage
I just
it.
Open my calculator, and I just... Or that, boop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Kristen is also a big true crimer.
Yup, yup.
So we all last summer went on a trip together to the beach, and it was 5 of us, and it was me, Ashley, Kristen, and then our 2 friends, Whitney and Ari, and they do the disclaimers in our episodes, so you've heard their voices.
Mm-hmm.
Those two could have cared less.
Yeah.
But we were listening. Kristen introduced us to the Piketon Massacre.
Yes, girl.
Yes, girl.
It was so good.
And we were in the car. We were like, they did what? Then they did what? What?
And then Ari literally, like, would fall asleep and then be like, oh, what's happening?
Whitney did that too. She was like, I'm just not interested.
I just don't understand.
I don't understand how you listen to this.
Because it's my... It's my...
What? So Kristen showed up today and she was like, so I've listened to about 5 murders today.
I mean, yeah.
So many murders. And now I don't even have to ask for podcast recommendations.
Yeah.
You got so many.
Exactly.
Period.
So, but it's our happy hour episode.
So we is drinking.
What are we drinking?
We are drinking these Bud Light Seltzer Sours.
The sours. The sourer, the betterer.
They're really good.
They are.
They're really good. We're drinking this green apple right now, and it's very much giving me Jolly Rancher vibes, and I love Jolly Ranchers.
Kristen made a face when she took her pressure and said, ooh, ooh.
She wasn't expecting that little kick.
But Bud Light, shout out, because I told Kate that I would give a shout out, because also Bud Light helps pay my bills, because that's also another part-time job that I work.
Yeah, can you pay my bills? Bud Light.
Yeah. So, these are the sours. They're a new addition. I think you can find them at, like, Kroger or Walmart, maybe, and gas stations, certain gas
First
stations.
First of all, I live in Delaware, and we don't sell those things in places like this.
You don't?
I have to go to a liquor store.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Did you know
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
You can't buy alcohol at the grocery store.
No.
No.
I have to go to a liquor store.
I forgot about that because remember when I came up there and we were like, what were we, I don't even know what we were doing. I was like, well, just go to the Walmart. You were like,
and
what?
I was like, ma'am, we got to go to the liquor store.
So are there liquor stores on every other street?
I mean, in my area, there's like 2 in like really close proximity to me. So they're pretty, it's not like one on every street, but they're pretty frequent. I think I have 3 in my area.
No gas stations either.
No.
I could not imagine not walking into like the Circle K and not seeing the beer wine cooler.
I can't remember the last time I've been to a liquor store, so that
that's true.
Yeah, it's ABC. Pretty wild. It's pretty wild. When I was back, like, in New York, you can do that. Like, you can go to grocery stores. And, like, I remember once I went home, and I haven't been in New York since, what, 2014? Like, living there. And we went to the Aldi.
Aldi, yeah.
Aldi, you know? tomato, tomato. But I went in there, and I was like, oh, my God, there's alcohol in here. And I was like, oh, dumb.
Aldi actually has a really good wine. You're the one that introduced
me to
that.
I hear they have really good wine.
Never been.
Never been to Aldi's for the wine?
Wait, who told... Oh, it was James's mom!
Shout out to James's mom!
She listens to this podcast, too.
Hey, James's mom!
Yeah. she sent me... Well, no, I went to her house to meet her, and she had Aldi wine. And she was like, yeah, I buy it in box size so that I could just keep it for a really long time. That's it's really smart. Good. Yeah.
I've heard, but I've never had the luxury of buying.
I think it's like White Owl, or White... The Owl? Something. Ooh. Yeah, something like that.
I prefer Bubbles.
What's Bubbles?
Like seltzers, right?
No, girl, like champagne.
Oh, like rosé?
Prosecco.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. James literally has to, like, limit my mimosa. Like, when we went to brunch the other day, Kristen and I went to brunch, and he was like, her and her husband got a bottle of mimosas. They were like, hey.
For the table.
Yeah, for the table. And they were like, hey, you know, are you going to drink? And James looks at me, he's like, that's her kryptonite? I really don't know. And it's ever since I celebrated your birthday in D.C. and I fell in the freaking flower bush.
She's pointing at me, everyone. She's pointing at me. We had bottomless mimosas in D.C.
They were bottomless.
They were bottomless. It was a lot.
It was a lot.
But it was delicious. And we had a really fun time. So.
We did.
I'm just. No regrets at all.
I think my caption on Instagram was, went to D.C., saw nothing historical.
You literally did it. You saw the inside of bars.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It was interesting. It was a good time. Interesting.
Yeah, so are we going to give any more about, like, this information about? What are we?
We're on the green apple right now. I think we'll let you know when we switch to the next flavor. But yeah. Green apple, I'm rating it a 9 out of 10.
I'm rating it a 10 out of 10. Uh-oh.
I like beer, so I'll give it a 6 out of 10. It's a little sweet.
You are a beer drinker.
Yeah.
I like it sweet.
I don't usually drink Jolly Ranchers.
You're right. I remember back in college, you remember when you used to, like, make your own flavored vodkas?
Yeah, put Jolly Ranchers.
Yep, and you put them in, let them sit and, like, dissolve, and then you'd have, like, a Jolly Rancher.
Again, I like beer.
I didn't put Jolly Ranchers in my beer.
Oh, whoopsie.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's decent.
Funny story, because, you know, Mary has to have her shout out.
Mary!
So my sister, we had a wine rack growing up in our kitchen. And my sister one day was home alone. She's like, I think maybe like 16. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to do something really nice for the family. She's like, I'm going to clean the house. So she cleans the house. And sends in a group text a picture. And she's like, I cleaned the house, so I deserve a glass of wine from the wine rack. And she's like, drinking the wine. My parents don't respond in the group chat. I'm like, you go, sis. You drink that bottle of wine.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm like rooting her on. And... A few years later, she was like, someone brought up that story, and then she was like, why did y'all never respond? Like, I was 16 drinking wine. And I kid you not, Dad, like, with a straight face, Daddy Dozier was like, so that was water that we put in the wine bottles that had food coloring in it.
Shut
up. She thought she was drinking wine, and she was drinking water with food
Oh, my God, was she acting like she was drunk?
I don't know.
Because that would have been so
real
funny.
Fancy.
Yeah, she was real fancy with her food colors.
She was like, this tastes familiar. Hydration, child.
Man, a hangover is actually not that bad.
Let's do it again.
Exactly. That was just funny. I think about that all the time when people are like, yeah, I like rosé and it's pink. And I'm just like, my sister drank pink wine and it really wasn't pink wine.
I mean, we had a bar in our basement growing up and, like, me and my friends, like, our house was the party house. So, like, my friends would come over, like, someone would bring, like, I was drinking 40s back then, guys. I've really evolved since then.
Yeah, you're doing good.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm just great. So we would drink, like, the nastiest shit my parents had. Like, kombucha or whatever the hell it's called. It tastes like dirt.
It's, like, 0.5% alcohol also.
It's disgusting. But when I was younger, I was like, woohoo, rootin' tootin', I'm getting it.
people use that for like gut health.
Oh. Well.
You got a clean gut, girl.
Girl, it's clean. But I remember we like drank it and I like refilled it with like water at one point. My parents don't drink. So one, why do you have a bar in this house? And two, it's probably still down there.
For gut health.
Yeah. They probably thought they were doing something.
They were
with
like,
that water.
We're doing you a favor, girl.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's funny.
That is hilarious.
That is really funny.
But yes, we have our Instagram. It is popping right now. So if you're not following us, go follow us at Teachers Talk Crime.
And email us because we are waiting for emails about your teacher stories. Good, bad, the ugly, we don't care. And that is teacherstalkcrimepodcast@gmail.com.
Gmail.
And our TikToks.
Tickety talk, don't stop.
Exactly. Mine is southern.math.teacher.
And mine is Branny. That is Brant with three Y's and an underscore.
And Kristen?
I don't do TikTok.
Oh, we know.
Are you new here?
Do you go here? She doesn't even go here. Kristen does not do TikTok, but she does have an Insta. She has a beautiful husband and two beautiful dogs.
A little arf arfs.
Yeah, they're adorable. Mm-hmm. Obi and Zara.
Shout out to Obi and Zara. Pew, pew, pew.
But also, don't forget the underscore, like Brandy said.
Yeah, don't. And don't forget the buy us a coffee, because we need it.
Yes, at buymeacoffee.com/TTC podcast.
TTC?
So, you ready?
I'm ready. You ready?
I'm ready.
Yes, we ready.
Sit down. Shut up. The murder is about to begin.
Yay, yay.
What up, y'all? Welcome back. It's Teachers Talk Crime, and y'all already know what it is. We about to be in here talking about murder, suicide, dating violence, domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. So, y'all already know what it is. Don't sit here and act like y'all don't. We about to get into it. So if you're not ready, I'm going to need you to leave. All right, then.
Oops. So we made an oopsie.
Definitely.
And we did all that in the beginning, and we forgot to, like, tell you who we were. So
you have our socials and all of our information, but you don't know who we are.
So, I'm Ashley.
I'm Brooke.
And I'm Kristen.
And you are here with us on Teachers Who Talk Crime
Podcast.
Yay, yay.
That was good.
That was good.
Yes. And I am bringing you the murder today.
She is bringing us the murder today. Mm-hmm.
And I will say, this one.
Not the hair flip.
Oh, the hair flip. I'm telling you, I know that y'all are not watching us because we don't have a YouTube channel yet, but I have new hair and I am just like feeling it. I've named my new hair Roxanne. I'm officially Roxanne with this hair.
What's that song? Roxanne. Yeah. Roxanne. Mm-hmm. All she wanted to do was party all night.
We are now on our second flavor, blue raspberry sour. Ratings?
I don't like this one as much. I like sweet drinks, and this one, it literally says on the side, not so sweet blue raspberry. So I'm going to go ahead and give this a 5 out of 10.
So I don't like sweet drinks. What did I give the last one? 6?
A 6.
I'll be nice, and I'll give it an 8.
Dang!
You had a different face that time, though.
Yeah, it didn't shock me.
Yeah.
It was like a forehead.
This is my favorite flavor, so this one's a 10. What? Yeah, this one's definitely... But my favorite warhead is the blue warhead.
Oh.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
I would eat warheads until my tongue bled as a kid.
And
then when my tongue was bleeding, this is disgusting, so I'm sorry if I'd gross anyone out, but she is my mother.
My mother.
She would suck the sour off so that I could keep eating warheads. So after the sour was gone, she'd give them back.
Brooke, shut up.
She's my mother.
If Skylar already ever came to be like, Mom, I mean, girl, if you don't get out my face.
Well.
The door. Go scrub your tongue.
Why are you bleeding?
What's going on here?
Yeah. So.
How many flavors are there of this?
There is blue raspberry, green apple, lemon, and watermelon.
I feel like I'm going to hate the watermelon.
Do you not like? Too. Oh, y'all don't like watermelon.
I don't like watermelon.
Watermelon flavored things.
You know, I like the watermelon Jolly Ranchers. So it's if it's anything like that, I'll be okay. But like watermelon, like actual watermelon, I'm not a fan.
Wait, do you like real watermelon?
Yes.
Oh,
but flavored but watermelon,
like watermelon margaritas that everybody tried to do last summer. Oh. Terrible.
Yeah.
I don't like grape flavored things. Like I like grapes. Don't like grape flavored things.
Yes, samesies. Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh. It tastes like medicine to me.
It's very potent.
Love a grapeico.
What's a grapeico?
A grape soda. You don't know about grapeico?
I don't know about no grapeico.
Never heard of a grapeico.
But I know about Sunkist.
Before you get on your flight tomorrow, stop at a gas station, a real country gas station, and you'll find a grapeico in a can for like 59 cents.
That can't beat the price.
All right. Hashtag grapeico.
We stopping to get a grapeico.
Grapeico.
Here we go.
Yeah, let's go with the grapeico.
So our happy hour case.
Yes.
Is the murder of Sarah Starr.
That's a really baller name.
It is.
Sarah Starr.
So this case is a testament of, and I quote, sometimes it takes a little longer than what you want for justice to prevail.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I have a question before we begin.
Go ahead.
So you know how our happy hours are normally like teacher relate? Is this like, is there a teacher involved?
There is. There's a teacher involved.
Oh my gosh, she's yes. a killer.
This case is 85 miles from where we're sitting right now.
Uh-uh, that's real close.
Real close. Real close. Real close to home.
That's crazy, but you didn't answer my question. Is the teacher the killer?
She's not.
Damn.
She's not the killer.
I'm waiting for one.
So we're just going to start with the fact that we could throw a rock where this happened. Like, you know, 85 miles is not, it's a car ride.
Yeah.
So, depending on how fast you drive.
I mean, I'm a New Yorker, so I drive pretty fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I decided to use the happy hour case that I have this week to do something a little closer to home. This might be a little too close just for time frame and like everything that happened and went down.
So this is recent.
It is recent.
Ooh.
And it is recent as in last month.
Recent. Oh, shucks.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That's recent.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So this actually took place in Enterprise, Alabama.
Okay. Very familiar.
I was about to say, Kristen would know.
Yeah, I would not.
Ridden many van buses there.
Van
in
buses?
My lifetime.
You were a band there?
I was.
Aw.
What did you play?
We won't talk about that.
Just like we don't talk about Bruno, we don't talk about that.
Oh, gosh. So, Enterprise, Alabama, for anyone that is not listening in the South, Enterprise is in the southeastern part of Coffee County, which is north of Mobile in the Gulf of Mexico.
Coffee County.
It's called Coffee County. They don't make coffee there.
Well, dang. Well, why did you name it that?
Like we said earlier when we were driving, how do streets get their names?
True.
We did have that conversation.
Somebody tell me the history of Coffee, Alabama.
Yeah.
Coffee County.
So the question still remains, who killed Sarah Starr?
Wait, we don't know who did it?
We have theories.
Oh, shucks. The killer is still at large.
So Sarah Starr was 36 years old and a fourth grade teacher at Heron Creek Elementary School in Enterprise, Alabama. And Ashley, this is for you.
Oh, my God, what?
She was a mother of two sets of twins.
You know, that is the one reason I'm scared to have another child. Because I love my twins, but I do not think I could do another set of twins.
Whose side of the family does twins run in?
Neither. Steven has a couple set of twins on his side, but, like, it's not enough to be like, oh, you're next. You know what I mean?
So you just ended up with twins.
Yes. We went to our first ultrasound, and it was just like, oh, my God, look, the baby. And we were like, yay, there's a baby. And our second ultrasound, they were like, yeah, so there's two heartbeats in here. And I was like, yeah, mine and the baby. And they were like, no. And then on the screen were these two little blobs, and I was like, oh, shit.
That's, like, not mine and the babies. That's two babies.
That's mine, the babies, and the other babies. Yeah, so that's how it happened.
Woo!
Yeah. Yeah.
Twins are great. Skylar and Arya are great.
I mean, they're great. I love them. They just a lot.
But four of them?
Four. Four.
Yeah.
Four total.
Like three, like me and two other little versions of myself.
Mm-hmm. That's enough.
It's a lot. Mm-hmm.
So four kids total, if you don't know what two sets of twins means. And she was also a Sunday school teacher.
Oh, she's precious. Mm-hmm.
So elementary school teacher, fourth grade, and a Sunday school teacher with four kids.
So she's a boss.
She's mm-hmm. doing it.
Yeah. Her church friend said, and I quote, "We always called her Super Mom.
Oh.
She had it all together. She always appeared to be on top of everything. She had such a sense of humor, and I think she had that because she had a house full of kids. I mean, she had her own circus."
Yeah. Having twins is, you got to be a special kind of person to have twins.
I believe it.
And she had two sets, so she was really, really, really mm-hmm. special.
Oh, yeah. So Sarah wasn't actually an Alabamian. So she was from Kansas.
She's not in Kansas no more.
You took the words out of my mouth.
I'm sorry, you know. It's a very popular line.
It is. So she was from Kansas, but she had lived in Alabama for 10 years before her death. Okay, so she, 10 years, she, I guess.
My age when she moved here.
Yeah. Yes.
Do we know why she came to Alabama?
I didn't find that out. That would be a great, that would, you know, she was married, so could have been a husband. Maybe. It could have been school.
Yeah.
I do not know that. That's a great question. So, like I said, she'd been here a while. She's accustomed to Alabama lifestyle. And, I mean, Ashley, as you know, is not from Alabama. Kristen and I are. It's different, isn't it?
It's different in a really great way. You know, every time I come down here, I spend money I'm not supposed to spend.
Because I told her today we thrift shop down here.
Like, hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
And all we got is the Goodwill by me.
But we have Roses, Ollie, Crazy Cavs Boys.
Mission.
City Trends.
I mean, Dirt Cheap.
Counts. Dirt Cheap.
Yes.
And I took you to your first Dirt Cheap.
Oh, gosh, I went to Dirt Cheap. I spent so much money. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was dirt cheap, but mm-hmm. I spent
but
a lot of money.
But new with tags.
It was. Yeah. Yeah.
You did get a lot of stuff.
I did.
And, like, what was something? I think it was Ari that came down. Was it you or Ari? And we were in Skybar, and y'all were like, "This girl just, like, came up to me and, like, complimented my shirt. Why'd she do that? This wouldn't have happened. Oh, it was you, because you were like, this wouldn't have happened in New York."
No.
That's called Southern hospitality.
You know, I always thought that Southern hospitality was, like, a myth. And then when I came down here and the amount of, like, the lady this morning.
The lady this morning.
Oh, my gosh. So we're in Blue Bagel.
Big Blue Bagel.
Big Blue. Not just a Blue Bagel. It's big. So we're in there. And apparently this lady was staring at me the whole time. Because she came up to me when she was leaving. And she was like, "I'm so sorry for staring at you, but I really love your glasses. Where did you get them?" And I'm just like.
You were staring?
I was like, "Ma'am, I was engaged in a conversation with my friend. But whatever. I got them from Zilul." I hope that's how I say it.
She was like, "Well, I love it."
Zilul.
That's what I thought she said, too, this morning.
No, it's Zilul. Zilul.
Are you saying that right?
I swear I am. Zeelool. I think that's it.
You wear glasses. You used to look into
you
look, that.
You wear glasses. Did that
ahead? Yeah, I should.
Because
I need some.
Do you have the right
I do. I got to get me some sunglasses before I go to Jamaica this summer.
Literally, I found that ordering glasses online saves me so much more money than going to the stores. So Zeelool, do it.
Send it to me.
Are you going to get the little clip-on sunglasses, like where the shades clip on?
My husband has those, and he turns 30 this year.
I feel like my grandmother has those.
And my standards are higher than that.
I will not resort to those measures.
The clip-ons.
That's crazy. I'm going to send you the link, though.
She will. So, okay, sorry. Tangent over.
My bad. You know it's a happy hour. We just do what we want.
So, Sarah was found dead in her driveway by a gunshot wound.
Oh, my
gosh. November 27th, 2017 at 8:30 a.m. So if you are doing the dates in your head, this is the Monday after Thanksgiving holiday.
Okay.
So they've been off for Thanksgiving. This is Monday morning when she should have returned to work.
Oh.
Okay. So her body was found by two coworkers after she didn't arrive to work, according to sources.
Oh.
I live, like, when I worked with you, Kristen, I feel like maybe if your gut told you, you would come check on me. But I now work 45 to 50 minutes away. I don't know that anyone's coming to check on me just because of the drive.
Yeah. Because no one lives in, like, close proximity right. to pass by your house to see if you're okay.
I mean, I think if you're one to not come to work and you're 8:30, we have to be at school, what, 7:30 usually? That's an hour late and nobody's heard from you. Somebody's going to come check on you.
Or call.
Call somebody you know.
Or then I feel like if it's that far away, like if they tried to call you and you didn't answer, like they would then call the police like, hey, she didn't show up to work. Like, can you go do a wellness check?
Wellness check. That's what they would have to. I mean, because no one that I work with lives in, like, I commute.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, like I said, like, if I still worked with Kristen, you'd be like, something ain't right. Because she would have told me that she ain't coming.
Yeah.
And I'm very upfront about taking my days.
Yes.
So.
We need our mental health days.
Yeah.
It's real. But I have a question. So you said this crime was recent, but you said 2017?
Uh-huh.
So are the, like, the progresses from the case recent?
Uh-huh.
Okay, cool. Because I was like, wait, I know it's 2022.
Yeah.
And she is still married. Did we cover that?
Look at you with a question.
Yeah.
We were just talking about this at dinner.
Yeah, she's going to buy me that shirt.
That t-shirt, yeah. Buying her that t-shirt.
The husband did it.
So this crime did take place in 2017. And I will fast forward to where we're at today, as in last month.
Understood.
Yes. So schools actually had to be placed on a soft lockdown as a precaution. The schools that were placed on a soft lockdown were Pinedale Elementary and Copenville Junior High. And if you noticed, neither of these schools were the schools she worked at.
Huh.
Is it because, like, proximity to her
house?
So,
that's what I was going to get us to explain. We all work at three different schools. How do your lock, like, why would schools that she doesn't even work at be placed on a lockdown?
So, not the school that I currently work at, but when I was in college doing some placements at a school, we went on a lockdown because there was a body found at a bus stop, not a school bus stop, but a bus stop down the road, like on the same street. It was not related. It was like natural causes.
Dang.
But we did go on lockdown for actually several hours.
Dang.
Yeah. Because they didn't know that. They couldn't. Right. Yeah.
They had to determine it was natural causes before they could.
What are your lockdown like? That was proximity reasons, right?
Yes.
Okay.
See, I'm brand new to my school this year. So we haven't had any lockdowns yet. So I'm not really sure the procedure.
Wait, y'all don't have drills?
We haven't had any lockdown drills yet. We've had a lot of fire drills.
Yeah, you only have to choose one type of drill to have per month.
Okay. I was like, I don't want to be airing nobody out because I don't know nothing.
Oh, okay. I mean, we do. I don't know. I remember when I worked with you, I felt like we did a fire drill every single week.
Like, we have to do one drill a month, and I think the other drills have to be covered quarterly.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And I was out for like a week, so it could have happened when I was away.
So, the school that I work at is a great school, but it is a historical building. It was one of the, during segregation, it was one of the first black high schools in Alabama.
No!
Yeah, it's amazing history of my school. But the current location of it and, like, what has happened with years passing is we are in a low-income area. So, we do go on lockdowns, soft lockdowns. I don't want to say regularly, but, I mean, Kristen actually worked at this school, too.
I did. I did.
We missed each other by a year.
No way.
Yes. And then she came and joined me when I left. Yeah, and then she's back. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Yeah, there were several, you know, lockdowns because
of proximity. We are, like I said, we're in a low-income area. We do have a lot of, like, surrounding shootings, not ever, like, you know, not school related, but within proximity, they have to go on lockdown.
Yes.
So, to answer the question, these two schools had to go on lockdown because of proximity. And similar to what Kristen was saying, a body's found within so many miles. You don't know if somebody's at large. You don't know if it's natural causes. You don't know what happened.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm not a parent, but I would feel like, Ashley, as a parent, you would kind of want those in procedures in place.
Oh, absolutely. The girls went on a lock. They're in preschool now, but it's attached to like a regular school building. And there was a shooter. The shooter wasn't in the area, but they lived in the area of the school, so they put the school on a lockdown. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I was like, thank goodness, but it was also like, can I go get my kid? Like,
right.
What's that?
Yeah. So the death of Sarah was actually initially reported to authorities as a possible suicide.
What?
In the driveway?
That's very okay. public. I feel like suicides are not that public.
Right.
The gun was...
No weapon.
Okay.
So then how
was
she
found at the scene. The next day, Coffee County law officers called Sarah Starr's death a murder.
Okay, thank you.
Exactly. At a news conference on November 28th, 2017, they said, and I quote, "We're not at liberty to say..." Kristen got a call. "We're not at liberty to say a lot, but on the key factors that turned this into a homicide investigation instead of a possible suicide. Is that the death was an apparent gunshot wound to the head and no firearm was recovered at the scene."
Do we know...
So it was like, execution style.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Like, was it like in the forehead, on the, like...
Yeah, it was
temple?
Execution style.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm.
So if it had been a suicide, she would have dropped the gun. It would have been at the scene.
Yeah.
Right. So those who knew Sarah Starr... described her as a loving person who cared greatly for the fourth graders she taught. However, her personal life appeared to be far from perfect.
Oh.
A co-worker of Sarah said, "Her first year, you would have never known it was her first year. She was the person you knew should have forever been a teacher. Some people say it's a calling, and she definitely had that calling."
Oh, what a sweet woman.
"Because when it was my first year, you knew. I was struggling. Oh, yeah. I was drowning.
I was on the struggle bus."
Luckily, I did have a first year good group of kids. I had a handful of great kids my first year. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, my first year was rough.
Yeah.
I was in 6th to 8th grade self-contained class.
Ooh.
And mind you, I teach elementary now. Like, big kids are not my jam. They get too smart and I just can't. So I had a total of 4 students in my room. 4. And they expected me to teach every kid on their grade level in that room. No curriculum.
Oh God.
They were just like, do what you do, figure it out, everything's gonna be fine. So I was planning literally till midnight and beyond every single night.
But your first year, you feel like you're required to do that. And now as what, you're an 8th year teacher,
yeah.
You're a
fifth
year. I'm yes. a 5th year as well. You realize, I ain't taking that shit home.
No.
Uh-uh.
Like, I don't get paid enough for this. Period.
Everybody has 1 year in their first 5 that
it is your first 5, yeah.
Will be just completely awful. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, I do know. I do.
A couple.
Yeah. So, Kristen, this
yes.
leads me to what you said. Who did it?
The husband always did it.
I mean, that's what everyone assumes, right?
That's the first suspect.
James and I was telling y'all at dinner tonight. So, James, if y'all don't know, James is my boyfriend. We're not married yet. But he rolled over and was like, "So, have you thought about murdering anyone this week?" And I was like, "No, but statistically, you are more likely to murder me than anyone else. And I, you."
Yeah.
And he immediately regretted his question.
He was like, "So note to self, do not ask about murder in the back."
Exactly. Exactly. So obviously the husband was considered right away as a person of interest. And that's just in any case
yeah.
of the death of
yeah.
a mother, father, husband, wife situation.
Anyone.
Right. But he had an alibi, and he had, like, a solid alibi. He claimed he was eating breakfast at a cafe at the time of her murder around 6:30 a.m.
Okay.
And this was vouched for.
All right.
By his mom.
No, at the cafe. Wouldn't that be something?
His mother.
I mean, that's what the alibi usually is.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
So the cafe actually confirmed this. Like, he was at the cafe.
Yeah.
Starr... So this is his last name, not hers. This is her married last name.
Okay.
Starr was questioned about the death of his, you know, of Sarah.
Yeah.
But at the time, he was never charged. One of the deputies who was there during the questioning described him as being, quote unquote, pretty smug during his arrest. Tom Anderson, which was the lead person on this case, and you'll hear me like refer to him in just a minute a lot, because okay. he gave great quotes. But Tom Anderson went on to add, I think he's always thought he was above everything.
Huh.
So I looked up a picture of him, and he, I don't know who y'all are about to think of, but I want you to think of the cockiest car salesman out there. That's what he looks like.
I didn't even have to think about it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he looks like. Somebody that, and I don't know that that's his job, but think of the car salesman that just walks out of the office, chest puffed, I'm about to make this sale, and can talk your head off, but makes you feel like he's better than you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I feel most of the time when I go into dealerships.
Right.
Because, you know, I feel as a female, like a single female, they're like, ooh, we can get her.
Yeah.
She doesn't have anyone to validate her. And I'm just like, I need to get my dad on the phone.
I'm going to get my dad.
Daddy.
Exactly. So, Jason Starr and Sarah Starr filed for divorce in 2015.
Oh, so damn.
2 years.
Prior.
Before she was murdered.
Uh-huh.
I have never gotten a divorce. I don't know how divorce proceedings work.
I do.
Okay. So, the divorce was not finalized until July of 2017.
Oh, wow.
4 months before her murder.
Oh, they took their sweet time.
Well, the four kids, right? And I'm sure they have a house and everything else.
Yeah.
So, how quick can you get divorced?
We decided we wanted a divorce towards the end of the school year. So, like, early... I can't even remember the year because my memory just erases things that I don't need to remember. we got... So, towards the end of the school year, I want to say, like, May-ish. It was definitely May because we went away in June on a vacation, me and my family, and he was supposed to go and he didn't go. And we were divorced that September. Like, it was official that
final.
September. Yeah, it was done. Like, we were okay. Divorced in September.
Okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't even a year. It was a couple months.
Disagreeing on things makes it...
Oh, yeah.
The drawn-out process.
Uh-huh.
Who gets what in the divorce and... Yeah. I mean, not that I've had a divorce, but...
Yeah. That can definitely drag it out. If you guys aren't agreeing on things, it's going to be a drag-out fight.
Mm.
And it wasn't like that for us. I was like, look, this is what I want. You can have this. I gotta go.
My parents got divorced, and the papers were legally signed a year later. And then, like, 3 months after they were legally signed, my parents were back together.
What?
And then got remarried and got divorced when I was, like, 25.
Dang! Dang!
So, yeah.
Dang!
It's crazy. So,
Dad, I guess... Dad doesn't want that repeat.
Exactly. I guess... Theirs did drag out. I mean, drug out for 2 years. So yeah. They filed in 2015. They were finalized in 2017.
Were they still living together and stuff?
No.
No.
They
okay.
were not. No. So the Southeast Sun reported that shortly before the murder, Jason Starr had been ordered by the court to pay $2,500 a month in child in support, not even child support, to his ex-wife, Sarah. She was also awarded a portion of his military benefits.
Okay.
So the $2,500 was alimony and child support combined. Like, that was the total.
Yep.
So I'm just giving you the roundabout story.
Uh-huh.
And she also was going to get a portion of his military benefits. He was Army.
Okay.
So that was right before, like, that was right at the 4 months of their divorce.
That's yeah. a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I ain't get that money.
What does he do? Do we know?
He was in the Army. Yeah.
Like, just, that was his job?
That was one of his main incomes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, she, this is their drive for the motive.
Yeah.
If he did it. But remember, he has an alibi. Okay?
But he was really smug about it. So, I'm like, maybe he, like,
right.
set it up that way.
So, there is no, like, confirmed court documents or, like, lawyer document saying this is the motive. Nothing's on paper. This is what is assumed could have been the motive because of how the time frame worked of him being ordered by the court to pay this and her being murdered.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Right. I mean, you got to look at all parties, like all incidents leading up to it to figure it out.
Exactly. And I mean, I don't know what child support is supposed to be. And Christian, you immediately said that's a lot of money. I know what we make, and that would be a lot of money out of my check.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I think it's. So I.
But it's four kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's based on your income.
It is.
Okay.
And the money I was supposed to get for child support was less than I'm actually getting.
Okay.
Because we had made an arrangement. Like, we had come to an agreement prior to going to court what I was going to get. And then when we went to court, they were like, oh, well, you want to give her this, but this is what you actually have to give her. And we were sitting in court, and I'm like, I'm getting divorced. And he was just like, all right, I'm going to give it to you.
I'm just giving it to you, girl.
Stop crying.
Yeah. So that is like what is believed to be a possible motive. Uh-huh. And that's the only thing that any source out there said could have been a motive if he did it.
Yes.
Okay, and I stress the if.
Yeah.
Okay.
So do they have other suspects?
We shall see.
Oh, yes.
District Attorney Tom Anderson, again, we're bringing him up, so uh-huh. He is like the main guy involved in this case, said that we believe we have knowledge and strong evidence of motive.
Ooh.
It later came out in 2021
okay.
that Jason and Sarah had gone through a long and lengthy divorce, yes. as we mentioned earlier, and this was because of ongoing custody disputes. Oh. So as like you said, Kristen.
And so child support also depends on custody.
Yep.
So depending on, like, if you share custody, you don't have to pay child support, am I mm-mm. right?
Because me and the girl's dad, we share custody. We have 60-40. So I've been 60% of the time and he has been 40% of the time. And I still get child support.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Does it affect the ratio? Like how much
I think
child support
so.
At all?
I think it does. But like I said, we had agreed on everything prior to going to court. Like we went in and like we had written out everything that we agreed on. And we got it like notarized. And we were good. And the court was just like, okay, like you're divorced.
So that's, I mean, my sister has Casey, and she was never married to Casey's dad.
Uh-huh.
And so Casey's dad doesn't have a court order of what he's supposed to pay. Uh-huh. So, honestly, I don't really care if he's listening, but he pays whatever kind of like he feels like that month. And yeah. He does, I mean, she does get help.
Yeah.
You know. But it's not a set amount every single yeah. month. So it does disrupt her budget.
Yeah, sometimes. It could vary month to month.
Right. But, you know, they weren't married. So she's like, well, we're doing the best we can at this point.
Yeah.
And she's rocking motherhood.
You better go ahead and marry Mare.
So I just want to say here that I have my opinions.
And you're allowed to have them.
Uh-huh. As to what made this custody dispute go on and a possible other motive. And, you know. So this man, this is all I'm going to say for right now. This is all the hint you get. This man did not deserve his children. And I know Mama Sarah knew that, and you're going to hear why in a minute.
Ooh, can I guess?
Yeah.
Was he, like, not a deadbeat dad, but, like, she was the involved parent, and he was just the provider?
It's a great guess. Kristen, any guesses?
Was he cheating on her?
Great guesses.
Ooh, are we both wrong?
Yes. So, court documents indicate that Sarah Starr was struggling financially with the divorce, living with her four children in a home that was furnished and given to her by her church community.
Oh my gosh.
Mm. The sweetest.
Yes. And, like, if you look at the map, and, I mean, if y'all are interested, we'll definitely post it, but What I think, because I know how Southern churches work, and most, like, Baptist churches, like small town Baptist, Methodist, all these churches have preacher houses. So the preacher gets a house given to them.
I lived in some of those.
There you go. And the house that Sarah was living in was directly behind the church, which is where the preacher houses normally are located. So what I'm thinking is the church community gave her the preacher house.
Oh, that's sweet.
Right. And for those of you that don't know or like to bitch about teachers always complaining, I looked up my check stub for you guys. My first year teaching, my first year, up to my fourth year, I was bringing home, if I did yearbook, if I stayed after school and did tutoring, a maximum of $2,500 a month.
That is disgusting.
Imagine doing that with four kids.
Like, that is literally drops of water in a bucket.
Mm-hmm. And I say up to 4 years because at 3 years you get a bump.
Yes.
And at 5 years you get a bump in the state of Alabama, right?
Sure. I mean, I'm still disgusted every month when my check goes in my bank account. So.
Exactly. So we're having to pay lawyer fees, support four kids. Luckily, she has a good church community.
Oh.
Okay.
Thank goodness I didn't have to go through the lawyer fees and all that.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I don't make that now because thank you, Meemaw Ivy. Kudos to you. Math teachers got a raise in Alabama. But it was a struggle. Meemaw Ivy. So, like I said, her house was directly located behind the church. I assume it was the preacher's house. I don't know that for a fact, but I do know how small, you know, small town churches were. Sarah was very firm in her faith and was always just saying things like, well, you know, God's got this. This too shall pass. She was a very positive person, according to sources. And she kept that positivity up. And one thing that was noted about investigators, and again, they're not blaming anyone. They're just saying there were so many roads that led to Sarah's house that if anyone on that road had had a house camera or security device, like a, what's the common one now?
A ring.
Mm-hmm. Ring. Had a ring camera, they could have 100% picked up someone driving by that could have related to the case.
So I'm guessing no one did.
This is rural, how do you say it?
Rural.
I can never say that word. I can never say that word.
I was wondering if it was rural.
Very.
And I was going to suggest, like, game cameras. Even people, you know.
You know what? Oh. Think about that. Huh. That is so true.
Yes.
Because they ain't, my grandma ain't got no, she live on a dirt road. She ain't got no ring camera.
No. I have a game camera.
Yeah.
Down by the pond to just, you know, we don't hunt, but we get to see the deer when they come by.
Oh, when they frolic.
Not Bambi.
Yes, just prancing around.
I didn't even think about the game cameras. That would have made sense.
Yeah.
I wonder if they looked in. I mean, I would think they would.
I definitely know no one had a ring.
Okay.
And like, but this is also just one of those scenarios, you know, we like to talk about what could have.
Yes.
So this is just one of those scenarios. Okay. So it is mentioned in sources that Jason Starr.
Oh, it scared me. My heart is palpitating in my chest.
So sorry.
It is okay. You all right there?
I'm good. God got me.
Bring it back. I just do not think you guys are ready for this plot twist.
Again. Plot twist.
Okay. It is mentioned that Jason Starr, the ex-husband, hired his brother to kill Sarah. And federal and state authorities allege that Jason Starr paid his brother, Darren Starr, with a 2016 Triumph motorcycle as payment for murdering his ex-wife, along with an undisclosed amount of money in 2017. Now, if you're wondering what that motorcycle can go for right now.
$3. I'm kidding.
$3.
And $3 is my final offer.
Triumph motorcycles currently retail between $8,000 to $25,000.
Not killing somebody over $8,000.
No.
I mean, granted, I'm not going to kill nobody anyway.
No.
But that wouldn't provoke me.
Paid you in a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Why can't you go buy your own money?
Like, why don't you go sell it and give me the money?
Yeah.
Why I gotta do it?
So this was mentioned by who?
This is the investigators.
Okay.
This is what they, because, you know, Jason had an alibi. They knew, like, he did not pull the trigger, but somehow the husband's involved. Like, they knew that much.
I mean, the fact that he was so smug when he was brought in.
Right.
Like, yeah, I was here eating breakfast.
Correct.
You can't pin it on me because I was eating breakfast. Like.
You meant to do that.
Sir.
This man ain't ever woken up at 6:30 in his life, I'm sure.
He not.
Like, but today, I'm going to go to this cafe and I'm gonna get breakfast.
I'm going to tell you the exact time and exactly what I ate because I wrote it all down.
With a receipt.
Right.
And then probably made sure everybody in there was like, yeah, I'm in here eating.
Right.
Exactly.
Spoke to every person. Can I get an
orange juice, please, ma'am? Mm-hmm. My name is Jason. Exactly.
Starr.
Don't you forget it.
Yeah. So, Darren Christopher Starr, 53 years old, is wanted currently, well, I say currently, by the FBI for his alleged part in Sarah's murder. Okay?
He's out here on these streets?
Who was his former sister-in-law at the time of the murder. He was charged by federal authorities on December 2nd, 2021, with a murder-for-hire charge. His brother and Sarah's ex-husband at the time of the murder, Jason Starr, 48 years old, was also arrested in Daleville, Alabama. That's 95 miles from here.
Mm.
If anyone knows, you know, where that is. On December 7th, 2021. This is just when they were charged. Like, okay. This is when the papers were signed. We are officially charging these people. This does not mean they have them in custody. This just means they were charged.
So where is Darren? Well, he's on a run.
He on a run.
And Jason is chilling?
Jason was chilling and got arrested.
Okay.
So they found Jason. Okay. This is December 27th, 2021.
Okay.
Jason.
Derulo. Sorry.
Jason was released on federal custody in January with an ankle monitor pending trial.
And we still haven't found Darren.
Uh-uh. So I was confused as to why they let him out until, like, I'm still confused, but I did stumble upon this quote from the U.S. Attorney Office Law Enforcement Coordinator, Doug Howard. Okay? Uh-huh. Because you are charging this man. So clearly, if you are charging, doesn't that mean you have enough sufficient evidence to go to trial?
You have I think, not evidence, but, like, motive. Maybe.
Okay. But evidence could be circumstantial.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And, I mean, charges can be dropped, but if they formally charged him after that much time, then that tells me that they had enough to pursue it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because you can't just say, like, you're arrested. You know?
Right.
You have to have reason and have some type of evidence.
And be prepared to take it to a trial that you can't have a do-over for.
Mm-hmm. So you'd have to have enough to feel confident in your...
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Did they have record of... Because they said undisclosed amount of money. Do they have a transaction between the two?
No. They do not have a transaction. Every single source is undisclosed amount of money.
Huh.
But the reason they got that was because of how Darren was on the run. Financially... You couldn't, like, he wasn't working at his job that he got a W-2 at. So, you know, like, he had to have money.
And it's pretty coincidental that your sister-in-law is murdered and you're suddenly nowhere to be found.
Right. Yeah.
So you're looking very suspicious, Darren.
So Doug Howard said, in our system, the judge looks at a number of factors and decides whether the accused should be detained pending trial or not. So the judge got to make that call. The judge can place certain restrictions or a requirement on the accused when he or she is released pending a trial. In this case, one of the requirements was that Starr's location be monitored by the U.S. Probation Office. So that's, like, why he got the ankle monitor.
Okay. Does he still have custody of his kids?
Well, I could not, and I don't know why I couldn't find that. I could not find that, but I want to say no, and here's why?
Go ahead, girl.
No. Surely not.
This is why. A bad man is a bad man. And this is what I was getting at. And this is what I was leading to. Why I, as Brooke, a podcaster with an opinion, think that the custody battle went on for as long as it did.
Mm-hmm.
Because in 2018, okay, so he just got charged with the murder in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Rewind.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018... She was killed in 2017, mm-hmm. so try to follow the timeline here. Mm-hmm. In 2018, Jason Starr was indicted by a grand jury for sexual abuse of a child under the age of 12.
So they think he was sexually abusing his children.
And I think that this is my opinion. Let me state, this is my opinion. I think she knew, didn't want to throw him under the bus because that is her kid's children. And she was going to expose him. And one, he also was about to pay $2,500 a month.
Uh-huh.
Do we know that that charge was for abusing his children?
No.
Okay.
Because they can't release that because
of the underage child. Do we know how old his children are at this time? Okay.
Could be his child. Could be a random child. It's a child nonetheless. And I, you know, there's so many women out there, or men, really, and they live with their spouses, and they find out their spouse killed somebody, and they're like, oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
She could have not known. Again, I just say that it's my opinion she did, and I don't think Sarah was the type of person to dangle anything over the head, but I think she knew this. That's why it drug out the way it was, yeah. And he was like, I can't risk you telling people about this.
And that may have been the reason for the divorce in the first place.
Absolutely. Ah, yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Huh. So she died in 2017. He was officially charged and indicted in 2018.
So that case could have been going on far prior to her death.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. So when he was charged for the sexual abuse, he had not been charged for the murder of his wife. Okay. He was not even listed as a person of interest at this point.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. He had just been questioned. Okay.
It was smug.
Yes. So he was arrested for the sexual abuse charges outside of Shell Army Airfield the following day. He pled not guilty. He was released on bond for the sexual abuse charges. And as part of his lawyer's strategy, I mean, kudos to the lawyer for trying. You can try. His lawyer requested a change in venue in the case due to the local news bullying and publicly pronouncing things around his ex-wife's death, in which he had not officially been named a suspect in that investigation.
I mean,
so that does happen a lot because the jury is selected from the county.
Yes.
Right.
So if everybody in the county suspects him for this murder that he hasn't been charged for, then
but they're slandering him.
Right.
Yeah.
Then that could influence the way that they, you know, decide on this case.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That makes sense.
It does. And good kudos to the lawyers. I mean, he tried.
Yeah. Did he fail?
Yeah. He failed. Alabama 12th Judicial Circuit District Attorney Tom Anderson again said that they would continue to pursue the sexual abuse charges and did not rule out pursuing state charges in the murder of Sarah Starr. So strategy-wise, they felt like Jason was a part of Sarah's murder.
Yes.
They did not at that point in 2018 have enough evidence. Mm. So let's take to trial what we do have. And what we do have is the sexual abuse charges. At least we're charging him with something.
Something.
Yes.
And our gut's telling us he had something to do with his murder. We just can't prove it yet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Strategy. Yeah. All about strategy.
You got to get him for what you can get him for.
Yes. So fast forward again, 2021, Jason Starr was arrested on the murder for hire after more than 4 years of investigation in a no-arrest case. So at that point, no one had been arrested. A statement by Tom Anderson again said, this is 4 years in the making. We knew we had a strong, decent evidence, but knowing someone did something and being able to prove someone did something are two different things.
Yeah.
Over the last 2 years and the tireless efforts of everyone involved, we are finally here. Anderson went on to say that justice has been evasive for Sarah Starr, her children, her students, and for everyone that knew her. Oh. I'm proud to be able to stand here and say that we are going to fight for justice and send Jason Starr away for the rest of his life.
Okay.
But they were prepared to charge him with at least the sexual abuse charges. Mm-hmm. They were going to charge him with something. Yeah. They knew that. He's a shitty person.
Yeah.
So what about the person who actually supposedly maybe committed the murder?
Right. The FBI got involved.
Oh.
Well, Darren's on the run.
Yes.
So we call in the big guns.
Yeah.
The FBI was offering $10,000 for information leading to Darren Starr's arrest and the Alabama governor, Meemaw Abby.
Meemaw
Abby offered up another $10,000 for information leading to his arrest and conviction. Darren apparently had connections in Texas, Arizona, or Connecticut. We didn't know where he might be. They just knew, hey, he has friends in these areas, friends that would host him.
Yes.
Or protect him.
But if you're putting up 20 grand and like, look, let us know where he at, they probably gonna sing like canaries, I would hope.
Not in Texas.
Yeah.
Oh.
Things might be bigger, but they don't snitch. So according, this is just like a really cool fact I found. According to the FBI, of the 526 people who have appeared on its most wanted list since the beginning of 1950, 491 have been located and arrested.
Okay.
Isn't that really cool?
Okay.
So he was officially put on FBI's most wanted list.
Naturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, dang, that's a good statistic.
That's a really good number.
Yeah. So I reached out to Ashley, like, researching. I was like, oh, my gosh, do we want to do a podcast on, like, someone who's still on the run? And as I was saying that, it literally alerted me and said that Darren Starr had walked in and turned himself in.
Oh, no way.
On February 5th, 2022, last month.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, and what happened?
So, Darren Starr turned himself into police in Hundo, Texas.
Hundo?
So, we were right.
You Texas. Were right. Mm-hmm. They bigger, but they're not smarter down there.
Yep.
I mean, I don't want to say that. I'm sorry, Texas. Y'all smart. Y'all just don't
this
stitch.
Was 40 miles west of San Antonio. So, you know. But this was 850 miles from where Sarah had been murdered.
Okay.
Okay. So I guess he was on his little motorcycle. Zoom, zoom.
Yeah, vroom, vroom.
Yeah. He, like I said, turned himself in, walked in, just turned himself in at 1:30 a.m. I don't know why a.m., but.
Hey, maybe he was just like, you know what? It's about time. I just.
Yeah. Yeah. He was eating some Tex-Mex, having some drinks, and he felt like turning himself in. I don't know. On February 5th, 2022, so very, very recent.
Very recent.
Darren's surrender came only one day after they had announced they were adding, Central Alabama Crime Stoppers were adding to the award of $2,500. They were adding more money to the reward.
So it was 10, 10, 25.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So both are in custody, and this, as of now, their trial is set for June
27th, 2022.
That's
my sister's birthday.
So, oh, my God.
Happy birthday, Stephanie. Feliz cumpleaños. We're going to be in Aruba.
Well, we might find out if they get trial.
Like, you better text me them updates. Yeah. I mean, I know I'm going to be in Aruba, but I want to know.
So, the trial has been set. It has not happened yet. So, this is still, you know, why. We have allegations of murder, like a motive. We have, like, our suspicions and our opinions, but as far as them saying anything, that's all we got. We have them both in custody.
Okay.
We have them both arrested.
Okay.
We're awaiting trial.
I mean, that's good. We got him.
Right.
He's no longer on the run because I was a little frightened, you know.
Especially if this is going to be out in the public and he come for us.
Right.
Because he only he in Texas, but he was only 95 miles away.
At one point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
But got him.
Yeah, and he went in on his own accord, and I hope that they don't, like, be lenient on that because you still murdered someone. But you did go, good for you. You went in on your own accord.
Yeah.
So I do want to leave you with something positive, and I want to leave you with Sarah's obituary.
Oh.
It read, Sarah Elizabeth's children were the loves of her life. She loved them more than anything else. She loved her parents, grandparents, siblings, and other family members. Teaching was always her dream. She excelled in the classroom and was loved by all of her students. Photography was one of her many interests. Students claimed that her classroom always smelled of coffee, and she loved to tell jokes.
Oh, she sounds like we would be friends with her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was so cute, too, and we're going to put her picture up. She now has a memorial at her elementary school that she once worked at. It is a beautiful garden with hand-painted stones, like the kids painted rocks.
Stop.
And a beautiful bench honoring her.
That is so sweet.
Yeah. And, you know, our happy hour cases don't have anything for us to really, like, reflect on as, like, how it could have been prevented. Because this wasn't anything student or, you know, this didn't have anything to do with her being a teacher.
Yeah.
I think she just married somebody that was bad news bears.
Yeah. And it happens.
You know?
Wow.
But
I can't wait till June 27th.
I know.
I need to know.
Yeah.
I need to know if Darren and Jason are going to get what they deserve. If they did it. And if not, I'm sorry, I'm throwing you under the bus. But from what I've heard, it's a little sus.
Yeah. Opinions, Kristen?
Well, I know it doesn't have anything to do with her being a teacher or it doesn't have to do with a student, but I do think that this is another reason that shows why it's so important for resources to be available to employees, whether it's stuff that happens on the clock or off the clock, you know? If that divorce was caused by some kind of abuse going on in the home, mm-hmm. did she have resources?
Yeah.
You know, yes, the church helped her with the housing and things like that, but past monetary, you know, was there resources that were offered? Yeah.
I feel like as teachers, especially now with going into year three in a pandemic, like counseling of some sort needs to be in place, whether, like you said, for in-school things or out of school things. I think it's a non-negotiable. I think all of us are going through shit right now, and we're just seen as these educators. We're kind of put on this pedestal.
And why, I don't know.
I have no idea. We're put on this pedestal that we have to be perfect and we have to do these things all the time. And then we have, you know, admin telling us, like, self-care, self-care, self-care. But then we have these PD days that we have to, like, that we have to be in the building. And it's not, granted, it's a day without kids, but it's not a day for us to just get our shit together. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important with the times that we are in, because we're dealing with a lot right now. Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes teachers are made to feel bad for self-care.
Yes.
So, you know, mental health days or even just taking a sick day for a doctor's appointment. I don't want to leave my coworkers without a sub because mm-hmm. we have none. I don't want to leave my kids without a sub or without, you know, a real lesson and teacher that's there for them that day. But, mm-hmm. you know, something we shouldn't feel bad.
Yeah, it's so stressful to take a sick day or to call out sick as a teacher. It's almost more work than going to work. So there's been times where I've been at work sick as a dog prior to COVID. Mm-hmm. And I've dragged myself in there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't feel like coming up with sub plans. Because everybody knows when you have a sub, what your kids are going to do.
Yep.
You're not there. This is a random human being. So they're going to do what they do.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So
we had that conversation in our faculty meeting. I think there's only like a handful of teachers in my building right now. I say handful, and I don't really know because some people aren't open about therapy the way that we are.
Yeah.
But like only a handful go to therapy. And it actually got brought up that our district this year put into place. And I'm eye rolling, and it's like I'm eye rolling, but I'm thankful. So I want to be very clear with that. I am thankful for what I'm about to say. But I also pay for my therapy. So it's like, yes, thank you. But I have a luxury that I can't afford my therapy.
Yeah.
So our district put into place that we get 4 free sessions with no contingencies, like just sign up and go. 4 free therapy sessions from a therapist right across the bridge from us, like where our school is.
Okay.
So we do get those sessions. And those sessions can actually be used for your family members as well.
Oh.
So, like, for example, like, wow. James could go, you know, or y'all could go as a couple. My James could go, or we could go as a couple. Aria and Skylar could go separately, or y'all could go as a family.
Okay.
So, however you want to use it, we have 4 free sessions, no charge, with a therapist, things like that. However, I pay for mine. So I mentioned this in my faculty meeting, and a lot of people were like, well, don't you get charged a lot for the copay? Teachers should have, every district should have in place something, even if it's just a set amount of sessions, that you can fund for your teachers.
Well, I think even 4 sessions is amazing as somebody who has not started therapy and has said over and over again that I would like to.
Yeah.
But it's scary, you know.
It is.
It's daunting getting in that, finding somebody that you're comfortable with.
And then being so vulnerable.
Right. Yeah. And so I think if that was provided everywhere, it would be a little bit more of a push.
Absolutely.
To do something like that.
So even with that small thing, if, you know, Sarah had access for this, for her kids or for herself or for a couple.
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's get through this custody battle together. Let's see if we can communicate, work this out. Better than nothing.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. I mean, my school did offer us that, and I know people have used that, and I think it's a great thing.
That
I'm
is
so
great.
Happy that they did that. I have already established a relationship with a therapist, and it's really hard to be like, eh, you're charging me. I'm going to go over here to this free person that don't know me.
Absolutely. And then you have to unload all of that stuff, and that might take the 4 sessions.
Yeah.
That might take the 4 sessions just to unload and get to know your therapist and for them to get to know you. So then it's just like, eh.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree. And I do think that schools should put something into play like that.
Absolutely. It would be so beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
I think more people, especially in the education profession, would be more inclined to begin knowing that they have these sessions that they can use to get started and not have to. Because let's be honest. We're teachers. We penny pinch all the time because
we don't
make what we deserve.
Right. And I think, too, like, you know, her coworkers said that she appeared to have everything together. Sarah definitely could have been the type that never mentioned any of these issues whatsoever.
Yeah.
She could have been the one that just went to work with a smile and no one knew what was going on to the extent of what was happening.
Yeah, she's probably one of those one who literally leave her personal life at the door. And it's just like, all right, I'm here for these kids today. Let me do my thing and then deal with my shit when I leave.
Right. And I know, like, James has, like, even said, like, you come home and don't want to talk to me. And I basically had to break it down for him a while back. And I was like, James, you own your company. You get to wake up in a bad mood, lock yourself in an office, and still be productive.
Yeah.
You don't even have to, like, show your face if you don't want to. You get to sulk all day. If I wake up in a bad mood, that shit better be gone before 8:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Because if it's not, it affects 100 other people's lives.
Yep.
Yes.
And they know. As much as you try to mask it, those kids
100%.
Know. They know.
They do.
I had a kid one day, and he literally, like, cocked his head to the side, and he looked at me one day, and he was like, Miss Brandt, are you okay today? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And in my head, I'm like, no.
See, but you have to say that because third graders won't get it.
Yeah.
I literally had a girl the other day, and she was like, are you okay? And I was like, no. I was like, my mental health is really struggling right now. And she goes, I feel you, Miss Dozier. I feel you. And I was like, I'm glad we could have had that conversation.
Yeah, if I would have had that with my kids, they would have been like, well, go home. And I'm just like, you don't understand that I have these bills to pay. I got these children to support. I got all these things to do. I got to pay for this expensive-ass gas. No, I'm here.
I think with 8th grade, we get some of both sides.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, just go home if you don't feel good. And the other ones that, you know, actually understand.
Yeah.
Or get it. And, like, too, they call you out even when you're in a best mood, but you just forgot to put on your eyeliner. They're like, ooh, you look tired today. Oh, I just forgot one piece of my makeup. I'm sorry.
Oh, and that, like, me going into work fancy as hell on Friday. And all the kids are like, Miss Brandt, you look like you're going to a rodeo. Like, where are you going? I was like, I'm catching a flight after I leave here. Where are you going? Where? Y'all in my business? Yep. Don't do that. That is my favorite phrase to say in my classroom. Y'all in my business?
Don't do that.
I've gotten other kids to say it, too. I'll hear them saying it to other people. I'll be like, oh. Mini-me's all over the place.
Yep. I mean, we don't have the luxury to sulk. And that was my whole, like, point to him. Is, like, by the time, if I did wake up in a bad mood and I have faked it till I make it until 4 o'clock, because we get out at 4. We go from 9 to 4. But, like, once I have faked it that long, once I get home, I'm so happy, James, that you had a great day. But now is the only time in my entire day that I get to be like,
yeah,
I'm mad at the world.
Yeah,
you know,
I just have to go to bed by 7:30 at least twice a week.
That you like fall asleep?
Mm-hmm.
That's really melatonin. Nice.
Dang! You
know, I feel like I need to start because I go to bed like 1-2 o'clock every single night.
Uh-uh. Twice a week makes a world of difference.
Night owl. I'm not you, but I'm also not you. Like, I am a 9:30 girl.
So am I, if I don't take melatonin at 6 o'clock as soon as I get home.
A gummy? Wow. Like a melatonin gummy?
Well, they're the same thing.
I heard that melatonin can either make you sleepy or hype you. Didn't you say you gave melatonin to the girls and they were bouncing off the wall?
I gave them one time and it was like I gave them speed. They were like, and I was like, lay down in this bed and go to bed.
Never again.
Never.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I am a night owl through and through. I feel like maybe I need to start taking melatonin because I literally go to bed 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock every single night religiously. Like, I will be in bed just scrolling. My brain just does not turn off. It's exhausting.
I have the thing on iPhone that is set at 9:45 to ding, it is time for bed.
Oh, that's smart. Mm-hmm. I feel like I would be like, snooze, what are we getting into?
No, and then mine shuts off. Like, it goes, like, I do not get notifications after 9:45. So if you've ever noticed I've never answered you past 9:45, it's because I didn't get your notification.
Yeah, she's asleep. I'm texting her about the podcast. I'm texting her my ideas. And then the next morning, she'll be like, hey, so here are all the answers to the questions you had at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. If anything happened to any of my family members after 9:45, I'm not learning about it until the next morning.
Dang. That's sorry. On Amazon?
Sorry, guys.
Where you get that?
Sorry about it.
I'm going to need to work on it.
Yeah. Kristen, thank you for being on our podcast.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Did you enjoy your time?
I enjoyed every minute.
Yes.
Do you feel more relaxed now?
Sure.
I mean, I feel like as we went on, like, she chimed in more, you know? I feel like you did a good job.
I would do it again.
Yay. Yes. Yeah. Good, because I'll be back whenever Brooke says.
Yeah.
Happy hour episode number 100. Yep. Uh-huh. When you guys make it that far.
Well, we hiring you when we make it big, remember?
You know, we already talked about this in the car.
Yep.
Behind the scenes.
Yep. Yes. Researcher. Yes. Grammatical. What? Critiquer?
Sure.
Critiquer. Yeah, you need to hire me right away.
Yeah, because you girl don't know how to spiel.
I mean,
the Facebook trolls came for me on that one. They were like, you're a teacher and you meant to say graders and you said grade. And I'm like, I'm human. So Facebook has an issue with my spelling and they also have some weird issue with my freaking eyebrows. Facebook hates my eyebrows. I don't know. They're like, three things. My Facebook reels, the same reels that I post on TikTok, I will post them on Facebook.
Yes.
I have like over 6 million views collectively on Facebook. Great. Oh, thank you. Nice. Awesome. Facebook trolls are the worst.
But they're actually adding to your success.
They are. They don't realize
it. So thank you so much, trolls.
Here's my favorite thing so far. One, they all call me a man and say, who's the tranny? Or who's the man? Or what is that? That's their favorite line.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Two, they comment on my eyebrows. They're like, something's weird about her eyebrows. I can't quite point it out, but something's weird. I'm so sorry that Jesus blessed me with dark eyebrows and blonde hair, but the roots of my hair are dark. I just dye it blonde.
And also, what are you, the eyebrow police?
Thank you. Thank you.
Like, post your eyebrows.
And then they always comment about, like, my grammatical errors, and they're like, you're supposed to be teaching the youth of America, and you can't even spell. I teach numbers.
And they spelled three words wrong in that statement.
I just, again, back to the teachers are put on this pedestal. Like, we are not allowed to do these things because we are educators. We are also human.
Thank you.
We are also people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like man, female, teacher. You know what I mean? Like, we are not our own brand.
But I feel like sometimes that's, like, literally how we're looked at.
And it's so annoying.
Have y'all seen the laws of, like, the 1960s for teachers?
Something about, like, stuff that they have to wear.
You can't show your ankles. You
code couldn't have a code of ethics.
Code of ethics.
There are still, those still exist.
Where? Because I don't ever need to go there.
Because my jeans got holes in them.
Somewhere.
And I don't drink my alcoholic beverages out of a styrofoam cup. That's what we were told to do. In college sets you up in this unrealistic teacher life.
Yes.
We were always told in college that, one, you couldn't have tattoos. I have 7.
I have 0, but I want some.
I have 4.
Yeah. And also we were told that if you were in public and you did want to drink with dinner, even when you were over the legal age, it had to be in a styrofoam cup that the public wouldn't perceive as an alcoholic beverage.
So because I'm a teacher, I can't have a beverage with my dinner.
Right. Also, we were told before internship, we had to go through our entire social media and delete anything deemed inappropriate. Why? Like, and I mean, like, inappropriate as in, I'm a young female. I can't wear a bikini. Why can't I?
I know you do not expect me to go to the beach in a one piece with a cover up and a hat and sunglasses and
sit under a tent. No.
And a blanket.
I can't.
I won't.
Yeah.
I won't.
Now, one rule I do abide by that I learned in college is to never post about work, like a status venting.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm not going to do that. One, because
Be friends with
coworkers. Or parents.
But that's you.
Or parents. I don't add y'all.
Yeah.
You ain't seeing my stuff.
Like,
you ain't seeing my stuff, and then I have, like, a public TikTok and a public Instagram.
Like, I'm friends with the girls' teachers on Facebook, but I barely post on my Facebook. Like, I'll post my TikToks. I'll post picture the girls. Like, that's the extent of what I post. I'm never, like, a venter, like, oh my god, I hate everything that's going on in education. Like,
yeah.
Look, teaching right now is collectively sucking. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that.
That's why they have teacher burnout.
Yeah. It's real.
Yeah. Have we talked their ear off?
I think we have. We're at 95 minutes.
Whoa.
That's long.
That is long.
That's almost as long as that other episode.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Because if you like us, you like us. And by episode 10, we have a following.
Yeah. Surely. So if you like us, like, leave us a review, please, because we love reading them.
Yeah.
And we don't have any reviews on Spotify yet, and we would really like to see them. So if you're listening to us on Spotify, because I think they're, like, Apple Podcasts and Spotify are our top two platforms
right
now.
Right.
Like, leave us a comment because we really love to read them and we want to read them here so you can be our star student.
And although I love my students, the only comments and reviews that we have on Podchaser are from my students because I promised them a sticker if they reviewed it.
Not them wanting a sticker. How wholesome.
Not even bonus points.
I know. Like, well, one kid was like, so Ms. Dozier, I know you legally can't give me bonus points for leaving a review, so can I just have a sticker?
That's so sweet.
And it's so sweet. Oh, I know.
I have faith in the future of America.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. When things like this happen, I'm like,
they're very wholesome. They're
going to do great.
They are.
I have to say, in my 8 year of teaching, this is the sweetest group of kids I've ever had.
I have my sweetest group this year, too.
They're
but
so
you
sweet.
Could not... You could only go up from what I experienced.
Right. Uh-huh. Nothing can stop me. I'm on the way up.
You literally could have gone up.
That's I have it. My sweetest group. I think we needed it.
We did.
Oh, yeah.
We did.
Absolutely.
We did. But they get antsy.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, the bell don't dismiss you.
We do.
We do. So, goodbye.
You want to tell them to get out of here?
Just tell them to get out of here.
Get out of here.
Bye.
We'll see you next time. Bye.